Welcome aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis, off for another day of broadcast insolence.
Yes, it is.
All right, now, lots to discuss here. Mm-hmm. First of all, mayoral candidate Willie Wilson is waiting in the PPG Paints green room. He's going to make his final argument for why you should vote for him next Tuesday in the mayoral, the first of what I believe will be two mayoral elections. This will be the
The first one, then we'll have the runoff in April, most likely. With so many candidates, no one will get the 50% plus one vote needed. But days away, and so many people still undecided. I mean, people are just kind of, they haven't made up their minds yet.
I got yelled at that it's, I thought it was 40% still undecided. It's 20%, they say. I think it's more than that.
The most recent one I saw from NBC last week was 19. That was the lowest I've seen. Some of the others have put it as high as 24.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in this thing.
There are. When you ask people, a lot of people do say, I haven't made up my mind yet.
I think people who even think they've made up their mind haven't made up their mind. I think that once they get in there and they see all the... I was looking at the ballot yesterday. You could see it online. And it, and when you look at it, you're like, oh my God, there are so many names on here.
Right. Yes, and some very familiar ones, and some you need to do some research on, potentially.
Some you need to figure out how to pronounce.
Some you have to pronounce, yeah.
Right? It's sort of like, help, but it's like, I think I've heard that name, but I'm not sure. So, it's like a whole deal.
And we're getting hammered with the ads now, because it's that time in those days before the election when you see a ton of campaign ads and you're hearing them on the radio.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless those candidates for spending their money. We would like to thank them, each and every one of them. So, all right, we have, so that's all well and good. That's coming up at 3:40, about 3:38 today is when that starts. Don't be a minute, just after 3:30. That's the way to look at it. Also on the program today, Ben Bradley will be here in just a few minutes. We got a pair of passes to the 2019 Blackhawks Convention presented by Magellan Corporation on sale now. We're going to give that away during Tom Skilling. Tom Skilling can be heard every afternoon here at 4 o'clock, 4:10, actually, every day. And he is going to be because it's his birthday, he's going to be giving away. Because he's the kind of guy that would like to give. On his birthday, as opposed to get?
He won't like the attention, just knowing what we know about Tom. He just won't.
He'll give them away. Can you email him the script for the giveaway so he can do that?
Yeah. He listens to us. So you could, Tom, be ready. It's coming.
And then
we'll need your help.
A lot of other stuff. And Mike Monaco, who is Michael Cohen's attorney. Big announcement about Michael Cohen today.
Absolutely. Looks like
Michael Cohen is not going to be reporting to federal prison as scheduled on March 6th.
Does he have a back problem or a
shoulder
problem?
He's doing shoulder rehab, but I don't think that's the whole reason. And then the story today that the Mueller report may be coming out as early as next week. I am told by a source familiar with the situation.
Yes.
That might not be true.
Ooh.
That's very interesting. Don't expect it next week, I'm told. Because it turns out that there is still a number of other shoes to drop, potentially that could change it between now and next week. Do you know what's also going to happen next week?
What?
Michael Cohen is going back to Congress next week, and he's going to testify in at least one open setting in front of Congress. Oh, what will he say?
Fascinating.
And does that stop the presses? Now, that's the Southern District of New York case, but still. Does that stop the presses? And let's not forget the president's going to be in Vietnam, finally, next week. So that's going to be what a week in the news. What a time to be alive and to be consuming news and reporting on news and all the things that you see. I mean, you have more access to it than ever. You also have news that fits all of your proclivities. Depending, you don't have to you don't actually have to form a new opinion. You can find news that fit any opinion you may already have established. So you got all that stuff going for you.
Many people do that, yes.
So we shall see. All of that is coming your way.
Oh, and then we got to talk. The Illinois has a new budget from Governor Pritzker. Made the big announcement today.
Yes. It looks a lot like the old budget.
It kind of does. And I think that's what maybe critics are saying today. More spending, more tax increases, more of the same is what they're saying. You know, it's if they're selling, the proposal is to sell some state assets. The tollway was mentioned, put off the pension payments for the payback schedule, push that forward 7 years. You got to legalize the marijuana, sports betting, cigarette and e-cigarette tax hike, borrow more money, and graduated income tax. And this was something the governor
said. Where did it graduate from?
Well, this is that's the biggest question, because no one's ever said, well, where does that fall? The governor said, you know, people like me should pay more. I'm a firm believer, and it shows you how committed I am that I'm saying that I should pay more. But there are only so many billionaires in Illinois. Where that line is drawn is important.
Well, it can't get done. You need a constitutional convention to have this happen. They're never going to get to a constitutional
and
convention.
And a referendum from people. You're right. And a lot of these things are not approved.
If you're going
to
do a constitutional convention, they're going to open up everything.
Yeah.
And the marijuana is not going to pay for. No. I'm also told by sources familiar with this situation, we're down at the budget. My phone is doing nothing but blowing up today with people. Yes, Ryan Lochte was there after having left Big Brother. Yes, he's down there. He's like, yeah, what about the ganja? And the truth is that that's going to be a slower roll in Illinois than they think. Recreational marijuana. It's not going to happen overnight because there are some other concerns. And it's not going to pay the money they thought it was going to pay.
Yeah, it doesn't. And then sports betting, too. It doesn't get you where you need to get, which is why you have to put off the pension obligations even further. And the sale of state assets, I thought, was the big one that sticks out there. Because
that's okay.
They've been unpopular in the past, the parking meter and the Skyway and things like that.
You know what they could sell?
What would you sell?
U.S. Guaranteed rate field.
Mm. That would be good.
I would sell that immediately.
If only you did that before the Manny Machado sweepstakes.
That could have helped, maybe.
Right. Thank you, Kev. And we're all upset about that. But why not sell that immediately? Why not sell that to to a group that may also be interested in buying the team if Mr. Reinsdorf decides to sell the team at some point?
That would pick up some more money, too. It's just how do you get where you need to get when you've got a pension, unfunded pension obligation that's, you know, over $100 billion, $134 billion. They've got to figure it out.
They tried to sell the big toilet downtown, the Thompson Center, which when you look at it from over above,
it looks just like a toilet.
Look, with a lid on it and everything, because they've got the seal. You got to see. Just look it up. You can find on the interwebs. There is a picture of it from above, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. They tried to sell it. Nobody wanted it. I'm shocked by that.
I am, too. You think just its location
that
alone.
Plot of land alone has got to be worth something. You could do, but malls, it's hard to build malls right now.
It is.
Yeah. So,
and you've got that big hole in the middle of it. So it's like, as you point out, the toilet bowl part of it.
They would have to tear it down.
They'd have to tear it down.
Yeah, because it's ugly. It's really horrifying, that thing, that building. And it doesn't really work, much like the state of Illinois.
All right, stay
right here, because Ben Bradley is standing by. He has thoughts, and he'll share them. But first, Kim Gordon, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Hate is on the rise across the country.
All right, Ben Bradley is joining us right now from the WGN-TV newsroom.
Hi there, Ben.
Hi, guys. Aren't there just some stories that you wish you could just hit fast forward and be like, okay, just tell me when this is over and how it ends.
Yeah, tell me exactly what's going on here.
Yes.
Which one of the five that I'm thinking of are you talking about?
Jussie Smollett one.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, the bizarre turns.
You want to guess the other one?
Mueller report?
Well, I view that as serving a constitutional purpose. So I don't want to.
Oh, so then I'm wrong
got
about
that.
Wrong.
Yeah,
you
Chicago story.
Mayor's race?
No, I love that. Love that.
Don't make us keep. Oh,
R. Kelly.
Oh, yes, because there's a development in R. Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just a couple of minutes ago, his attorney, Steve Greenberg, announced that R. Kelly is going to vacate his West Side studio. This is the studio that city building inspectors went after in an effort to, really, let's call it what it is. Kind of, you know, lots of stuff came out about R. Kelly in that docuseries, and then the city basically, you know, tried to harass him a little bit, right? They tried to kind of throw everything they could at him, and so they went after his West Side recording studio for a series of building inspections. If anyone thinks that that building would have gotten inspected in the thorough manner that it did if that weren't for the high-profile tenant, I think they'd be mistaken. But anyway, Mr. Greenberg, who is acting as R. Kelly's attorney now, just had a rather colorful statement saying, there are three countries that presume an accused to be guilty and require him to prove his innocence. North Korea, China, and Myanmar. This order is vindictive and baseless reaction to unsubstantiated claims about R. Kelly. He didn't do anything wrong. A hashtag, by the way, he says, does not make people truthful or credible.
I do remember when Steve Greenberg said the exact same thing about Drew Peterson.
That's not hard to get out of your mind, isn't it?
So, an attorney is a very fine attorney.
Very good attorney.
But it does not make it so when he says it.
I always do like, you know, whenever these high-profile attorneys kind of jump in on cases, I always get a kick out of going back to see who else they've represented. And you're right, Steve Greenberg really kind of came to local fame when he represented Drew Peterson. Now he's representing R. Kelly. Mm-hmm. And comes word this afternoon that a high-profile attorney by the name of Mark Garagos is Jussie Smollett's latest attorney.
This was, I gotta say, I saw this happen like in real time. I saw it like a slow-speed car crash, because on Monday night, Mark Garagos was on CNN defending Jussie Smollett like there was no tomorrow, like how and indicting the Chicago Police Department, like, look at this police department. I don't know who it was who said it, but look at all the things that they've tortured suspects, and they've
continued to leak information, you know, right?
It was
very critical.
It was incredibly critical. And I thought, this guy's auditioning to be Jussie Smollett's attorney, because Smollett had already hired two new attorneys. He had our own legal analyst, Mike Monaco, for a short period of time. Then he hired...
I believe that was the quickest representation in the history of representation, wasn't it?
By Mike Monaco, for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, there may have been a parting of the ways there in terms of legal philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
It's such a beautiful way to describe it, but
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes. Uh-huh. And so Jussie went on with a couple of very fine Chicago, Tom Pugh and Victor Henderson, both mm-hmm. fine Chicago attorneys. And now all of a sudden Garagos is there. I don't know if those previously named attorneys are going to stay in the case or not in the case. But Garagos is an L.A. guy. Garagos, right. You might remember, sprung to fame during the O.J. Simpson trial as an analyst. He's also had a bunch of high profile.
Yeah, I was just looking them up. So now, obviously, his most recent client, Jussie Smollett. Previous clients of Mark Garagos include Michael Jackson, mm-hmm. Gary Condit, mm-hmm. Susan McDougal,
mm-hmm.
and Scott Peterson.
Yes, the other Peterson.
Yeah. He also, by the way, represented two brothers who were injured after a tiger escaped in the San Francisco Zoo.
Oh.
Who could forget that case?
I'd hate for an L.A. attorney, to try to make the Chicago police the bad guy in this one. Because it feels as if they're taking their time for sure, but they are acting responsibly as this thing goes through so many twists and turns. And they gather the evidence they need in order to really, truly figure out what happened here.
Right. But the bind that Smollett is in, if in fact, you know, he made this thing up, is he can't now meet with detectives again, because anything he says would give him even more jeopardy. So no lawyer is going to presumably let him talk, although we're told that lawyers are once again in talks with Chicago police detectives about making an interview happen. But if police, as they seem to indicate,
I would not let him sit down for an interview.
Yep.
But can't they at some point sort of force
yep.
that?
No, they can't make him talk. They can arrest him. Mm-hmm. They can charge him. But no, they cannot make him talk.
Right.
And so that's, you know, as we've been talking about for a few weeks now, you know, suspecting somebody, staged something, believing he did, and having evidence to support that, those are three different thresholds. You know, evidence has to be something like banking records showing a cash transaction between Smollett and the brothers, which, uh-huh. you know, any first grade detective will tell you that's the first thing you do is mm-hmm. you subpoena the bank records.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What else? Were there text messages that set
this thing
up?
Subpoena the phone records would be very meaningful.
So, mm-hmm. but if there is no evidence, meaning physical evidence or electronic evidence, then how do you prove that Smollett was in on a hoax? It becomes a lot harder.
It's a they said, he said.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Yeah. All right. More to come. Thank you, Ben. We'll see you on the 4, the 5, the 6, the 9, and 10 on WGN-TV.
See you then.
All right. Right now, we have got Kim Gordon in the WGN Radio Newsroom coming your way in 2. Brokaw Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Here he is, mayoral candidate Willie Wilson has stepped into the studio. And Willie, I want to tell you something.
All right.
Now, we've known each other a long time.
That's right.
And when you first jumped into this race, I thought, well, it's going to be a pretty steep uphill climb for you. And yet, you stayed in it. You've stayed in it. You've been the top of conversation through a lot of these last number of months. And in the televised debates, you see other candidates respecting and deferring to you. yeah. for things. Have you noticed that?
Well, I just go one way. I just keep going forward.
So I yesterday made my official prognostication of what's going to happen
you
in
did.
This race, and I am rarely wrong about these things. Anna will
That's
attest
true.
To that.
You're pretty right. good at the prognostication.
Yes, when it comes to elections, I'm good. I wish I could do that with football
and
all other forms of gambling, but I can't. But in this particular case, I think the final two here, there will not be a winner here, 50+1, but
right.
there will be two finalists to go to the runoff. The first Tuesday of May, and it is going to be Bill Daley and Willie Wilson.
Well, I'm honored to hear that. I figured it'd be Willie Wilson by himself, 51%.
Yeah, I know you figured
you
that.
You got to say that, don't you? But if you could face off against one candidate, who would you think would be the best person to create a good debate for the city and somebody you'd like to oppose?
Well, see, I believe this here that. And all the rest of the candidates, like Bill Daley and Prep Workers, bad for the city. I mean, they already bought. And they're bought by other people. What are you going to do? He got to talk to
Because they've been else. Financed by other people, you mean?
Yeah, right, right. I mean, look, if somebody gave me $5 million or $2 million or $1 million, they got control of me. So I'm the only one that nobody had control over.
Because you're using your own money.
I my own
self-funding.
Way. Yeah. Although, you know, the reality there is that you sort of beholden to a lot of people. Now, what's amazing about Chicago politics, you could not give a presidential candidate $1 million. Nobody could do that. But you can give a Chicago mayoral candidate $1 million. It's totally legal. Right?
Well, let me. I had a press conference early this morning. Corruption. I put that, if anybody donate any money to the mayoral person who wins mayor or alderman, they cannot do business with the city of Chicago for that term.
Right. People have been talking about that. You think you could get that through the council? Can I go back to something that you would that's in your commercials that is I might have had a little bit of fun with this, but anyway, here's the point. You talk about police superintendents because obviously safety, Chicago Police Department, these are always going to be very much at the top of any kind of mayoral election. But you're talking about having more than just one superintendent. Do you mean guys who, if you have four of them, I think was your plan, right?
Four. Uh-huh.
So four superintendents, who then is ultimately responsible for the police department?
Well, I'll be responsible for them, but you got four superintendent police, get you closer to the community, get the job done, hold each superintendent police accountable. And that particular segment that they have.
And what is the segment? Are you doing geographically?
Well, I break the city up in four sections.
So geographically?
Yeah, okay. Right. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And making sure we have equality, contract, job, promotion. All right? Because I believe the biggest problem is communication. I don't think it's so much. Look, I understand Chicago is segregated. All right? But I think a lot of our problem is not so much as racist as a communication. I'm just a firm believer in that. I have friends that I never would have thought that have been my friends today. But it was a big lack of communication because we stay in our part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we
I
don't,
think it's true.
We kind of hang separate.
Yeah.
Right.
And that breeds
mistrust, right, between
right.
people.
Right. Putting it and holding them accountable and their particular segment of the city, making sure that they equal opportunity for everybody, hold them accountable for everything, making sure the cars is make the job, promotion, everything, I bet a lot of stuff going to go away.
Now, but originally when you said this, you were talking about there should be one that's black, one that's white, one that's Hispanic,
yeah.
and then other. I don't know what other was.
Asian,
okay.
Et cetera.
But you can't really do, that's not constitutional. You wouldn't be able to actually do that. So so that's why you'd have to be able to break it up geographically. So would you do it sort of the way that congressional districts are drawn? Like you'd have a map that is primarily African American, a map that's primarily Hispanic, map that's primarily white, and then that's how you would do it?
I would mix the city up. I mean, because right now it's not equally divided that way. All right? I would take, let's just say we took downtown. Mix the cars and population. And let's say there's 100 police officers. Making sure we reflect equal all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
the South Side, West Side, the same thing. Police ride together. Police talk together. Police understand.
So you want a mixture of police officers in these?
Yes.
You don't want that. You don't want black, Hispanic.
No,
you want everybody. Okay.
I want a mixture.
All right.
Because kind of like, okay, if I walk in a restaurant at night and it's all Caucasian at a restaurant, I'm pretty nervous. All right. I got to watch myself to the car. All right. I'm nervous as hell.
What are you afraid is going to happen?
Well, you know, a lot of things happened to me in the past. Like, you know, they call different names. Like down in Southern Illinois, when I was driving home, went to in a restaurant. It was back a while now. Mm-hmm. Came at the door and said, "Oh, you can't come in. We don't allow people like you to come in."
How long ago was that?
That was about 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
In this century, which is, it should be pretty alarming.
It's startling
to
begin with.
But here again, look at what happened to me with the Democratic Party and presidential today. That was 2015 and 2016, presidential. I couldn't even walk on the stage with the other white candidate. I could not do it. All right. So that wasn't long ago. You know, South Carolina, Mississippi, you know, all these different types of things. But I didn't get bitter about it. We still talk and laugh. And even when we on the stage together, like the other night, mm-hmm. Paul and all of everything.
Right.
I kid around with those guys. Okay? David, Prep Winkle, I shake her hand, everything. But some of them, I don't like the things that they do, you know. Right. So that's what it comes to. I would never allow myself to hate anybody.
Okay, schools. We talked about you talked about this in your commercials as well. That you know you're concerned about schools closing, and that makes it harder for kids and parents. I think you made an excellent point in this. You don't really hear people talking about this, and it is an important point that. You know, that's the schools socialize not just the kids; they socialize all the parents around each other too.
Absolutely,
because you're raising children, and mm-hmm. you know you have a common interest. What can you do? Because the money is running out here. Where do you find the money to do this, or is there some other creative business solution that you've got?
Well, first of all, look here. I say this. I tell everybody this. I am a bona fide businessman. Bona fide.
That's for sure.
All right. I have to balance my budget with my own dollars to keep my employees working around the world. All right. I got to balance our budget. When I look at, and I was trying to explain this the other night on Channel 11, and I said, I'm going to talk about how you balance the budget to pay the pension. They didn't give enough time to do it. All right. But I would take that $10 billion budget, $7 billion in payroll. Right. 42% to 45% in other cities, San Francisco, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago, like 70%. Okay? You got at least $2 billion in overtime in the budget here. So if I need 100 people to do a job, I'm talking about 500 people. All right? So you a couple of $1 billion there, right? Then you take.
Does it mean you would fire people?
No, it would mean this year. It'll mean that people that cut the overtime out. So look.
But how are you going to get the jobs done?
They're not getting the job done now.
But okay, so let's say overtime, and again, you know, you got police and overtime, you got exigent circumstances occur, you might have maybe there's rallies, you know, something happens exogenously, politically or whatever, and people want to start marching, you need overtime for that. If, you know, God forbid there's some sort of, you know, disaster here, you need overtime for that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and those are the things that happen. That's where you're running into the overtime there. How do you do away with the overtime? They're not going to work for no money if they're going to work,
but
you know,
it's more than just overtime. It's more than just overtime. All right. If I got a job making $100,000 a year and rake straight salary, now I'm making $300,000. Something wrong with that? Okay. The situation that Ron just did with the parachuter kind of a thing with the people now giving them the contract beyond. All right. The regular time. All
beyond
right?
His years in office, so they can continue on.
Right. Which is wrong. That goes to show you the corrupt. All right. Now, you take when people get to retire. You don't have to replace them when they retire, all right? Any business that don't have a payroll 70% is already out of business. We can't run Chicago.
But you think there could be fewer police officers here?
Huh?
Do you think there should be fewer police officers in Chicago?
I don't think we got enough. I think what we got to do is put the economic resources, the contracting job in those communities. Just like we put downtown O'Hare, $8 billion. Sidewalk, talking about $2 billion. Why don't we take a couple of $1 billion and put into those 8 communities that caused those problems?
You mentioned O'Hare. Do you think we should sell O'Hare or Midway?
I don't know. That'd be a good study point. We have to look at the numbers. I definitely have to look at those numbers and see where it's shaking out and what's
what. As a business guy, is there a way to make more money than the city's already making? Like, when we, as soon as we sold the parking spots, another company came in and found a way to make a mint off of it. Same thing with the Skyway. Is there something, as a business guy, as a guy who was a McDonald's owner operator and then very successful other business afterwards, is there something you see at O'Hare and Midway that you go through there a lot?
Yeah.
Is there something you see that you think, man, we could make money off of this?
I think you make a lot of money. I think also you got, here's another problem you got with Midway, O'Hare, and the whole city of Chicago. They don't bid the contract out equally and fairly. So if I got the ring on here and paid $100 for this ring.
The ring on your finger, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. If I bid it out, okay, maybe it might cost me $50, all right? All these contracts, same people getting these contracts over and over and over again.
So you make the process fair.
Right.
You heard the governor today in his budget address saying that he's one of the ways to balance the budget and eventually get us to some kind of financial stability is to sell off assets, state assets, privatize, sell them off. The tollway was mentioned. Are there other things outside of the airports that you would consider selling in terms of assets the city currently owns?
See, we got to take a look at it. Only way I can make an intelligent decision, the way I always make a decision, I get the number, look at them, get with the employee. In this case, I'll get with the city of Chicago. We'll bid out and take that thing one step at a time. Because here's what happened. Is that if you don't bid stuff out, give people equal opportunity, you're paying way, way too much. All right? Look, those guys balance the budget with taxpayer dollars. Problem is they don't balance it with their own dollars. All right? When you balance the budget with your own household, you got to make it work. All right? Mm-hmm. Everybody, but you use other people's money, you just spend, all right? But I would have to take a look at both of them, but I guarantee you this much. Just as I woke up one morning in debt, $72 million, because the market changed on my business, $72 million in debt overnight, right? I had to get down and take care of it. I came out of $72 million less than three years.
I need you to do my taxes.
I know. Really.
Let me ask you very quickly, what has been your favorite moment of this campaign so far?
Calling out these crooked politicians. And I think all of them need investigated. Honest to God, truth.
Well, they are. you're not wrong, and it's happening. But no, is there a moment? Is there like a moment that you had, like an interpersonal moment, or you appeared somewhere, and there was it just changed the way that you feel about life? Is it something that 10 years from now you're going to look back upon on this run and remember that moment?
Well, I remember the moment in terms of when people figured they had me passing out money.
and you fought everybody
night,
on that,
all right?
Because they said that you couldn't do it, and it turns out you were allowed.
Well, no, my.
And I like that answer because that's a real answer. It's like, remember when I got over on those guys? Did they want to put me in the clink? Remember that? I love that moment.
I got my own money.
All right.
Well, dang.
Willie Wilson. It's Willie Wilson for Mayor is your website. That's your handle for everything.
And Willie Wilson for Mayor. Yeah. I predict you're looking at right now your next mayor in the city of Chicago. You're looking at him.
All right. Willie, well, I put you in the top two.
Yeah, Rose got you there.
I don't know. We have to get you there on Wednesday. Next Wednesday, we'll talk about whether or not I think you're going to be the next mayor. But right now, I think you're going to be in the top two. And people think, I say that, and people go, no, you're kidding. I'm like, oh, I'm not kidding.
Well, he's
I
in within
not,
the statistical would, dead yes. heat of the lead. With you, if you look at, you know, you look at the margin of error, you're up there with in terms of the latest polls.
And the undecideds, where the undecideds are going to break, undecideds, for the main characters here who are, you know, household names, people have already decided on them a long time ago. The undecideds are going to go with people that are fairly new to the process. Now, you're not completely new to the process, but this is your biggest moment on the political stage so far.
All right.
So I think that that breaks toward you. And I think that you're seeing some other politicians kind of falling apart here who are at the very top of the heap. And if there's going to be a protest vote or there's going to be a vote for something totally new, where is it going to go? And I think it's going to go to Willie Wilson. All right.
Amen.
Thank you, sir.
I know it's going to be to me. Thank you, guys. And I'm your next mayor. Remember that. Said it on this show.
All right. I'll let you know. You know what? Leave your headshot and resume, and I'll let you know. All right. Thank you very much,
Willie Wilson.
We got Ryan and Kim Gordon. What's happening in the news at the top of the hour?
If your Metro train seems empty, we'll tell you why.
I didn't buy Tom Skilling anything.
Don't worry about it.
Got to do something special for him.
We do have something special for Tom Skilling up right after this. Kim Gordon's got the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on fire right now. She'll share it with you.
Go, Charlie. It's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip a card like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give up, cause that's your birthday. You'll find me in the club, bottle full of bub.
There we go. That's the way to do it.
Tom, you dancing in the office there?
I am. Yes, it's quite a sight to see. People are fleeing the office even as we speak.
They love it. Don't look at that.
Love the open.
Is everybody making a fuss of you today? You getting a lot of love?
I know. I'll tell you, you think birthday day. Isn't that something? You know, it's always fun, though, is to find out other people who have the birthday in the same date. Do you know that my little niece has a birthday on this day?
So. Oh, that's wild how that happens in the same family.
I know. It's pretty cool.
It's true, though. I mean, we have people in the same family have the same birthday.
Yeah.
It's weird.
But you know, Ro, I've gotten to the point now that I just assume they quietly slip by. You know,
I understand that.
But it is nice how nice people are. You know, Sam Julian, one of our news producers, came in with this, I mean, literal bucket. I wish I could send these down the line to you, of chocolate covered strawberries.
Oh, my favorite.
Sam is amazing. I always kid her and tell her she could start some sort of business. She and Sean, my roommate, ought to get together because the two of them bake up a storm.
Yeah.
And these things are just delectable. So it's made the WGN weather office over here a destination today. So.
You're super popular today.
Yeah.
They're
not coming to see me. They want to eat the strawberries, and I don't blame them, you know. So
we got Rihanna, Trevor Noah, Charles Barkley and Ivana Trump all born on this day. You sure
really?
A lot of people.
Ivana or Ivanka?
Ivana. Ex-wife.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. That is something right there.
I'll tell you, that's pretty amazing. Were there a lot of presidents born in
February?
February?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have a whole President's Day because there were too many of them.
There are a lot of them. You know. Lump it all together.
Yeah.
Dan Rowan's birthday is in February.
Wow.
My colleague here.
Give him a strawberry.
Yeah,
you know?
I will. Although the way they're going, I'll tell you, I don't think they're going to be around much longer here.
Anna. Well, I'm going to drive up there right now.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah,
that's what I got to go.
Yeah.
Send the with the power you have, you can send the WGN.
She's coming. Don't doubt him, Tom. Food moves him.
Jeez, I'll tell you, he doesn't waste any time, does he? You know, it's nice. He has half the Chicago Police Department following him into the parking lot.
I always do.
Police escort.
Yes. It's an escort always going the wrong way.
That's
you guys are supposed to be in front of me. Right. In front of me.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I made a lot of friends over the years.
I know. Hey, well, I can see why. Yeah.
Let's.
Isn't this a gorgeous day, by the way?
Oh, just, yeah. Low clouds.
Wasn't there hail earlier?
Yeah, a little freezing rain. We had, 6 tenths of an inch of snow at Midway and 2 tenths at O'Hare before it melted.
Mm-hmm.
9 tenths at Park Forest. And let's see what else. Oak Forest. And then we had Romeoville, 3 tenths of an inch. Rockford, 8 tenths of an inch. And then we got a little freezing rain. Now we're way above freezing. So we've melted it all, and that's good.
Would you say generally your birthday falls kind of on a crappy weather day, or what would you say?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Bill Snyder, who's got this crystal clear mind, said, wow. He said, what is it about you and your birthday? He said, it was 60. I said, you know, it was 66 last year, Bill. He said, I remember that, and it was 72 years ago. I didn't remember that.
Oh, man.
So isn't that something?
I know. You get that sneak 70 in February.
Love
we're not going to get that this year.
No.
You know, we're getting the sense that this is one of those moments that this is a winter we will remember for a while. I remember the 13-14 winter pretty well because it was so brutal. 14-15 wasn't so great. Then we had a couple milds. And now this one, even though half of it was okay, the back half, though, is lingering. And it's, you know, when I mentioned yesterday that I'm confused about what week it is because I just feel like it should be a week later than it is.
Yeah.
We had so many people text and say, yeah, I'm feeling the same way. It's because this winter is kind of, it's throwing so much snow at us, you know, in these little bursts.
Yeah.
But they're so consistently arriving that it's got us in that moment where we're like, oh, is this thing ever going to end?
Well, you know, Rote, the bigger picture is called for here. We had a record or 12th snowiest November on the books. Then we went into a snow drought from December 1st through January 11th. We didn't have much snow at all. And then we've gone into this snowy period that you talk about. But here's the interesting thing. You know, if you look nationally, before that polar vortex that was so widely covered came into the area, we had had 60 record highs set in the United States and only 17 record lows. And that included the polar vortex. And the year leading up to that, the number of record high temperatures outnumbered the record low temperatures by a margin of 5.2 to 1.
Oh, what's with all this science? So,
isn't that science?
I just want to put a tweet out that says, hey, what's with the global warming, jerks?
I'm trying to ease the pain.
Yeah, it's not helping me. All I want to do is I want to see a 70. I want that first breakthrough moment.
Tell me about.
I want the lake to turn so that the cold water at the top gets too heavy and brings the warmer weather up at the warmer water from the bottom, and then you get that weird smell down here because that tells me it's spring, baby.
The only thing is, if we put the tarp that you have ordered across the lake, we won't smell that.
I know. So. Well, it's not going to get there this year. I've been ordering them. On Amazon. I'm a Prime member.
It should be quick delivery.
You mean to tell me Amazon doesn't have a Lake Michigan tarp?
Well, they do, but but it's not in Prime, so you have to wait for it. You know, for a longer period.
Darn.
Coming from China, probably.
China. All right. Hey, I wanted to, because it's your birthday, I want you to give something away.
Yes.
You want to do that?
Boy, you're good. I feel like I'm graduating into primetime major market radio here.
Why don't you try this?
I actually have a chance to give this away.
You know what? Let's give you a little bit of music, too, for doing
perfect.
This.
Perfect.
How about Here Come the Hawks? We'll do a little Hawks theme here because it's Hawks related.
Sounds good.
All right, hold on 1 second.
Okay.
We'll get that. Wait, that was a last minute order. We have to. These guys have to run back into the music library and find it. All right, here we go. There you go, Tom. Go ahead, read it away.
All right, everybody, right now, the caller number 19 at 312-981-7200, and you'll win a pair of passes to the 2019 Blackhawks Convention, presented by Magellan Corporation, on sale now. The 12th annual convention takes place at the Hilton Chicago, July 26th. How am I doing?
Great.
Through the 28th. Highlights include player autograph, photo sessions, Q&A panels, exhibits, interactive games, and much more. Visit Blackhawks.com for more information. You know, that takes me back to my...
There you go.
I was going to say, you've done this before, Tom.
My college radio disc jockey days, which were not one of my finer moments in this industry. But, up on... Old WTSO in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, the show.
Did you have to talk like that, Tom? Did they make you talk like that?
They didn't make you, but you always thought it sounded cool until you heard a tape of it and you said,
"You're like,
what a disaster." Yeah, I know.
Sometimes you just can't stop talking like this. Once it starts, it's kind of like
every time you do that, Ro, I think about that, you know? What is there about early radio careers where we all thought that was cool, you know? Or,
it still is, man. We're going to bring it back.
I know. You know, on some of these, I don't know. I remember when Bob Surratt was on some time ago, he had Cousin Brucey.
Oh, man.
On from WABC.
New York guy, yeah.
Uh-huh. And he's like 85 years old and still doing this shtick on satellite radio. And he sounds like he did when I was a kid.
Hey, the only reason that I think I have any kind of hope for retirement is that I can work till I'm 90. Because in our business, and you don't have to know anything. I mean, this is the beauty part of being on radio, I have found, is that the dumber you are, the better off you are. And I think that we have a situation where I'm going to get stupider by the minute. It's already happening.
That'll never happen.
And And as long as I can sound relatively healthy.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. Is if you sound sick, you know,
I know.
If you sound healthy, you could be old and healthy. It doesn't matter. That's what Cousin Brucey sounds like.
I wonder what he looks like. You know, the only thing is now, and you see this, they're putting cameras in the radio studio.
He looks like a walnut, is what he looks like when you actually take the walnut out of the show.
Well,
But let me tell you. He's one of those legends. You mentioned Surratt. You know what? The one thing about Surratt was that Surratt was one of the first top 40 guys to not sound like that.
No, it's true.
Own sound.
Right. Which is why I wanted to be him.
Yeah. In his own way.
I knew I could never sound like those other guys.
No. We weren't blessed with those, Carl Grayson type wall rattling voices, you know, deep voices. The old WGN voices and all.
Can you hold on 1 second for me?
Yeah.
Kim Gordon wants to cut in here with some news update.
Oh.
Roe, we have some breaking news on the Jesse Smollett case. Chicago police say he is now officially classified as a suspect in a criminal investigation.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, that's not really a surprise, but, you know, when you hear it, and he's not in custody, though, right?
No, Kim? Not that we know of. No.
Okay. All right.
Gosh, if it turns out that this was staged, you'll want to hear what the thought process was on that, if that's what turns out to be the case. Of course, you're innocent until you're proven guilty, but that's certainly...
It is so bad for so many reasons.
Yeah.
Because it takes a moment that is such a critically important moment.
So true.
In...
this country.
In this country, that in terms of, you know, we live at a crossroads here because, you know, it seemed like there was progress in terms of acceptance of LGBTQ and African American, all that after Barack Obama was president of the United States. And now, you know, the fortress has popped up out of nowhere. Like, you know, people are like, well, that was too far for me.
Yeah.
And this is a moment where we're either going to break through this moment and be more understanding. There's an increase in hate groups and all the rest of that stuff that's going on here. We need to have that pullback moment where we stop and we try to treat each other with respect again.
Yes.
And for this, if this is made up, because it crosses, he pulled in everything, LGBTQ, black. Gay,
political,
MAGA, all of that. He threw it all into the hat. If this is in fact his own doing,
right?
And the thing is that people jumped. Even the president of the United States is like, "Oh, this is awful. What happened to him?"
It undermines if that's true, it undermines the complaints of people who really have been victimized for being gay or being black or the Me Too movement. Anybody who comes forward with anything that doesn't add up, it just undermines the difficulty for anybody who has been attacked.
It'll give everybody who has felt that maybe progress had been made too fast for them, they'll say, see that, look at the kind of
people
that we've got. At what they do.
And they could be anything with him, right? I mean, he's like the United Nations. He represents so many different constituencies here.
And such a talented actor and well loved and on a hit show. There's so much going for him.
But he had problems in his past though too that we weren't aware of. Right. I mean, nothing significantly huge. I mean, didn't stab anybody.
A relative?
No. Like the two brothers. Mm-hmm. Like one of them stabbed a guy. I mean, you're like, what? Right? I mean,
that was serious.
There's some crazy stuff that goes on here. So, all right. Well, Tom, happy birthday.
Thank you, Rowan. Thanks
birthday.
For the chance to act like a, big time radio guy.
Makes me a little jealous, Tommy.
You have to step out of the limelight before cheesy radio guy gets a little more,
I know.
We'll have to share the spotlight, that guy.
It was fun. Hey, guys, always fun to talk to you.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, Anna.
All right, let's check in now, Kim. Obviously, that's your top story.
That's my top story.
Make Sunday your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago, 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Yeah. Oh, man. Mark Garagos is going to get on a flight from L.A. to Chicago.
Jussie Smollett, officially a suspect. We just heard Kim inform us there.
See if they take him into custody and when. Find out about that. But first, we are going to, coming up, speaking of police, we have there's a very special event that happens every year down on the southwest side of the city of Chicago that the alderman is coming in for. And we also have the chaplain of the Chicago Police Department here to talk about the big pancake breakfast for the Police Memorial Foundation. And we'll have a few minutes to talk about that. Then we'll keep you abreast of what's happening here in the Jussie Smollett story, because it is developing very fast here in Chicago. All that coming your way. But first, Kim Gordon's got the WGN News in 2 minutes. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Mm-hmm. Two of our favorite people, Ro, just stepped in.
Well, one of my favorite people is here.
Oh,
Alderman
right.
Matt O'Shea is here.
Oh.
Look who's with him.
Who brought with him?
The chaplain of the Chicago Police Department, Father Dan Brandt.
Fellow.
He is a colorful fellow.
Mm-hmm.
The father and I have known each other for many, many, many years.
Yes.
And he considers me to be a heathen and a sinner. And I feel the same way about him. And we've done so many charity events together. Such a great time. We are available for a very nominal fee to come and be at your event. He's wearing a red nose. He's wearing a bozo nose
now.
And I think for good reason.
Yeah.
There is no more. The police department is very, very, I should say, we always kid each other, but it is so lucky to have Dan. There have been such a line of sainted chaplains at the Chicago Police Department, and then came along Dan. But he certainly does make it very, very funny. So, hey, but we want to tell you, let's start with this, because on Sunday, it's the annual pancake breakfast at St. John Fisher, which is in Mount Greenwood, technically, right?
West Beverly.
Yeah. Well,
all part of the Fighting 19th.
Yeah. And that is one of my favorite events of the year, because we raise money for the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation, but it's a great opportunity for people to come out and thank the men and women in uniform. My guess is that there might be a mayoral candidate or two who are going to stop by this thing.
You won't be able to fit them all in there.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
The hall is only so big.
Yeah, and it really is only so big. But last year was so funny. Last year, the place was jammed from the beginning to the end with, you know, families. They come down, you all kinds of, you know, it's kids. Because what's the donation to get in?
It's $5 a person, $25 a family.
Yeah. $25 for a family, and down there you're losing money because the average family is 12.
I know, true.
In Beverly,
and they all get to eat pancakes for that.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh,
it's just pancakes, a wonderful
sausage,
event.
Coffee, juice.
Yeah. A lot. I mean, it is. I mean, you don't. I don't eat after I'm there. I mean, you could fill up for the entire day there, and that starts at what time?
Starts 8 a.m. till noon this Sunday, the 24th. All product, everything, pancakes, sausage, everything donated by the Harrigan family and the original Pancake House.
Which is an awesome spot to go to, by the way.
Yes.
Got to check that out.
On Western, it's one of the... That's
10437 Western, incredibly generous and supportive of the Chicago Police Department going back 50 plus years.
Mm, good to hear.
And St. John Fisher is this... It's 102nd Washtenaw.
Yes,
sir. It's in the school part. I mean, you get there. There's people double and triple parked. You know, and I noticed that they don't give a lot of tickets that day. I don't know. I don't know what goes
on
there.
What's going on?
I don't understand what's happening. But
for charities, they kind of help you out a little bit.
Yeah, it's a great way for the Beverly, Mount Greenwood, Morgan Park communities to come out, and for anybody in Chicago, if you want to see how Chicago really lives and how supportive, you know, the fibers that kind of hold together, you know, real Chicagoans and Chicago police officers and the real police and all that together in one place, it is pretty amazing. You get law enforcement from all over the, you get state and county and all there as well. Yep, suburbs coming in. It's a really, really, really nice thing.
I'd like to throw out a thank you, too, if I may, to the parish there. Father Ken Budzikowski, great guy, great Pat, probably the second finest priest I know. And just the people of St. John Fisher for opening up their doors to this. It's such a great cause, and it's their way of letting the police officers know that, that they really do care and they are appreciated.
You meant the cardinal, right? Was that the first, your favorite?
Yeah.
That's what I thought you meant.
Especially I'm not sure. I'm on my own top 10 list.
Pope is number 3 on his. I don't know how it worked out. It's weird. So it is a special thing. And we would be remiss if we did not mention that this year especially, there are, in the loss of Commander Bauer, which was a year ago last week, and then we have lost 3 other Chicago police officers. And what the mission of the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation, I'm very proud and to be a member of the auxiliary board, or the board. I forget what the name of the board is.
Chicago Police Memorial Foundation.
Yes, I know. There's the board of directors, and I'm on the advisory board. Thank you very much. I remember that now. I've only been on it for 10 years. Anyway.
Good to know your title.
Yeah, I know. I just show up at the meetings. One of the things that that we do is that we ensure that the educational expenses of those children all the way through grammar school, high school, college, graduate school is taken care of. And we now have, 10 children that we are going to be funding that we did not have last year. As a result of what has happened.
Think about that.
That's a big thing, and the money that we're going to raise on Sunday, as well as all the other stuff that we do, goes toward that.
One of those children is 6 months old, won't even know their father growing up. That's Conrad Gary's little one. What a shame.
Breaks your heart.
Mm-hmm. It is. And it's been a very tough year for the Chicago Police Department along that and so many other lines, too. You've had a number of suicides. You've the politics of the city and the nation have changed in a way that it makes it very, very hard for these guys to get out. And you, Father, who goes out every night, I mean, you're out ministering to families and to police officers on the street who need that sense of connection to a higher power. And talk a little bit about how different that is from when you came on.
It's certainly a challenging job, but beyond rewarding. And the year I came on was a tough year. 2010 is just before I came on board, and there were 5 officers killed in the line of duty in 2010. So last year was not unprecedented. Last year we had 4, of course: Paul Bauer, Sam Jimenez, Conrad Gary, and Eddie Marmolejo. And that was, of course, a rough year, and they'd left behind quite a few loved ones, as we mentioned. And that is challenging, but beyond rewarding. When I was in parish ministry, I had a ball, and I like to think I did a fine job, but this is more kind of life and death ministry and kind of rubber hit the road kind of stuff. I don't have to worry about the brick and mortar stuff that I had to worry about when I was in a parish. And I love it. I love it. I love having 231 square miles to cover and 10,000 souls, well, about 12,000 souls who are active police officers and another 10,000 or so local retirees. To answer your question, wonderful position.
Father Dan, we've heard a lot about the need for more sort of mental health access for officers, and you must see sort of the... You must see that in firsthand.
Sure. A lot of folks will come to us first because they know they can trust us in the chaplain's unit. I represent a larger unit. There are 5 of us full-time, chaplains Bob Montelongo and Kimberly Lewis Davis, Joe Jackson, and Husni Selenica, all police officers with about 80 years combined police experience.
Wow.
And then we also have a rabbi who helps us out part-time, Moshe Wolf. And between us, we're able to be kind of that front line, and then we're often referring people to the professionals. We're not clinicians. We make that clear.
Right.
We don't have the letters behind our name, and we do have a team of clinicians in the Chicago Police Department, which has doubled in size in the last 2 years, and hopefully will continue to grow to meet those demands.
You know what is interesting, though, and when you talk to police officers, and they talk about that idea of going and seeing somebody. They will always say, well, how will that affect my career? How will that affect my ability to continue to carry my gun? Because, the stress that they carry, the experiences that they carry, when they want to express those thoughts that are all bottled up inside. They're afraid that the velocity of those thoughts coming out are going to affect people who are civilians. You know, that a civilian shrink is going to listen to that and go, oh my God, you know, because it is, I mean, you see it. You're at those shooting scenes. You see what that looks like, Father.
Right.
And
you can't unsee that. And these folks need a release, some kind of a, I heard it said best, every traumatic experience you encounter, it's like throwing a little pebble in your backpack. Mm-hmm. And a little pebble doesn't weigh much, but as you continue to throw those pebbles in your backpack, they start to accumulate, and you need some outlet, some way to empty that backpack every once in a while.
So it's we have to come up with a better way, I think. This is not just a local thing, this is a national thing, but a better way of the first responders having an ability to go express themselves, talk to people, not just, and they talk, I know they talk amongst, you know, their ranks and themselves and the bars and things like that, but you know, to actually get guided in a way that can be helpful to them. It doesn't always happen, you know, at a bar. I've tried to make it happen at a bar, and I've learned
familiar with that.
Yes, it doesn't always work. So I can tell them. I can tell them that firsthand.
And they don't want to burden their spouse either. You know, when an accountant goes home after a big audit, he can tell his spouse or her spouse about this great audit they just had. Mm-hmm. But officers don't want to go home and burden their loved ones with what they just encountered. The ugliness they see more ugliness in 10 or 12 hours.
No question.
One tour than most people see in a lifetime.
The pain, the suffering, all that they see, and then they wonder if they seek help, how will that impact their career going forward? And there needs to be that sort of stigma removed from the whole process.
Right. They're programmed to help everybody else. They're not always so great about asking for help for themselves.
Excellent point.
We're trying to change that.
Excellent point. And for the families that are left behind after tragedy, this is what people can take part in this on Sunday, if they would like, St. John Fisher Parish, in the school at St. John Fisher, which is in the, as the alderman calls it, West Beverly. I don't think in Mount Greenwood they like it when you call it West Beverly, do they, alderman? I don't think they do. I'll be honest with you. which is 102nd and Washtenaw. And come on out. It is a ton of fun. I go every year. There's also great merchandise to buy, too.
Oh.
Great T-shirts and stuff for the Police Memorial Foundation. Really cool stuff. Really cool swag. And show your support for the 12,000 men and women who every day go out. They put on that vest. They put on that radio, and they go out onto the street, and they try to, and they respond to when people are in trouble, no matter who they are.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? They're doing God's work. We try to remind them that regularly. They're doing God's work.
And then they look at you and they go, I don't know, Father. Are you doing God's work? I don't know. I'm looking real hard right here. And Alderman, thank you so much for everything you've done, too.
Thanks, Ro. Thanks,
Alderman,
for all
Matt O'Shea from the fight in 19th. And it really is the fight in 19th. Just ask them down there. You know, which, by the way, I should mention that, you know, there's a mayoral. I don't know if you're aware of this. There's a mayoral election next Tuesday.
Coming up.
Yeah.
Couple days away.
Out. And your ward has had the highest turnout so far in early voting. So congratulations to you on that.
Thank you.
By like a mile, it has had the highest turnout.
Yeah, our residents are they're engaged and they pay attention to things. And
that's true.
They're coming out in droves.
I hope they know how blessed they are to have you as their alderman. And I'm not kidding. You're a real blessing to the people of 19. I wish I had that up in 33. Good for you. Keep it up.
Wow, I don't know how to take that one.
All right, we're going to go now. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Oh, my God. He's in the middle of this.
The first count.
Your boss is calling. Uh-huh. All right, let's check in right now with Kim. What's coming up in the news at the top of the hour?
Roe, major developments in the case of Empire actor Jesse Smollett.
Kim's got news in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up. Top of the hour, Ryan Burrow, who is covering the Jesse Smollett story now for we at WGN, but also for ABC News, is in the studio with us right now. And this is, I don't think it's unexpected, but it's still jarring that police have now named him a suspect and are going to pick him up if he doesn't show up, right?
Yeah, I mean, we heard this weekend when they let those two brothers go. they said, we urgently want to talk with Jussie. We want to corroborate what they said versus what he said. And that meeting has not happened, did not happen. Now, today we are told that Chicago police did meet with his attorneys along with prosecutors. We don't know what was discussed in that meeting, but obviously whatever it was it enough to halt what ended up happening and is going on right now with the charges or being officially classified as a suspect in a criminal investigation for filing a false police report. That's a class 4 felony. And detectives, as we understand it right now, presenting evidence before Cook County grand jury.
There's also the potential of them looking into what did he say to the FBI? Did he lie in his comments to them and the U.S. Postal Service inspector who is looking at that letter, that threat? Who's behind that? If this whole thing doesn't add up, that's also a potential source of charges for somebody.
And it was weird because we saw in that Good Morning America interview, he spoke specifically about that letter. And he said something to the fact of, like, I made that up at the very end of his comment. And that seemed very, very...
Up, yeah.
Yeah, and it was... That was the letter that apparently these two men allege that what started this whole thing is that he didn't feel like he got enough attention in that. That's what police sources are telling us that they told Chicago police. So, you know, that letter is obviously pretty crucial mm-hmm. potentially to this whole thing.
Right.
Well, we've seen the letter now that's been released, and it's incredibly... amateurish.
Yeah. We were just saying it seemed like something you might see in a movie, like you cut out right. the magazine letters and deliver it.
We see threat letters. I've seen them.
I've seen a number of them. I've received them.
And they generally don't look like that.
No.
Got an update on the decision by Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox to recuse. She said that she had conversations with a family member of Jussie Smollett while this was all going down.
Got it. All right. Ryan Moore coming your way at the top of the hour in the news. Rob Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis, 720 WGN.
What an afternoon.
Oh.
Hmm?
If I'm Jussie Smollett, if I'm Mark Garagos, his attorney.
Right, the one who tried to smear the police department.
Yes. If I'm him, I don't show up with my client. I get the local guy to walk my guy in.
Yeah, I can't make it out of L.A. I'm busy.
And you
go to Chicago.
And you walk your guy in, and I would walk him in. I'd also walk him in, you know, to wherever they're asking for him to get walked into, have a conversation, tell the truth. This is not the end of the world.
No, but it's also not the end of this investigation. I mean, you know, he's now a suspect in the criminal investigation for lying about it, filing a false police report. And, you know, the FBI has been involved. The U.S. Postal Service has been involved in regards to that threatening letter that was sent through the mail. There's a lot more here that he'll have to answer to and about. There's now surveillance footage that several, I think, local news stations have picked up of the two brothers buying some of the things that were allegedly used in the attack. And they have that video of them checking out.
They had it, and the funny thing is the police had been telling him, hey, we've got this. Come on in. Let's talk about it. This is what these guys are saying. We've got some other evidence. And now Jussie Smollett and his legal team have been dodging. And I get that he's working, and they're shooting the end of the
Empire,
show and everything
right.
here right now. But you got to be – I mean, listen, you started this ball rolling, and you're going to have to figure out a way to – make it good. And you know what? He had an opportunity here, and he just doubled down and then tripled down and quadrupled down by saying, you know, everybody's out to get me. And all the evidence indicates the opposite, indicates that, and they're now the police have had no option but to look, because there's such national attention and thirst for data, for information about this,
right?
That he's jammed himself up every possible way he can, because the police are saying, well, this is what we have. They're laying the evidence out.
Well, the brothers talking to the police and cooperating certainly would have provided a lot of information on this. All and once right. they have that, we'll see where it goes.
All right. More on this coming up in the No, not in the top 5 of 5. But in the news, we certainly have more of this coming up. Are you ready?
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5.
Let's go!
4, 3, 2, 1. Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
Money. Get away.
Uh-oh. Even trying to do the right thing, people are doing the wrong thing.
Oh, no. Another case of that?
Yeah. Richard Branson. You see this? He announced a benefit concert that's going to sort of be like Live Aid, but for Venezuela. And they're going to do it in Colombia on the border with Venezuela in a town I can't pronounce.
Caracas?
No. Cachuta. Cacuta.
Oh.
Cuchuchuchuta. Cuchuta. No matter how I do it, it sounds dirty.
We need David Miranda to say that.
Mm-hmm. Is he back there? Is he in the newsroom?
Let's get
him. No, he left.
we got people for everything around
we
here.
We do. We got people.
Yeah. That's what we do.
Translators, you name it.
And now Roger Waters, the music legend, Roger Waters, of course, started his career at Pink Floyd, entered the fray, criticizing the concert and citing concerns over the ramifications of foreign intervention.
I have friends who are in Caracas right now. There is... So far, no civil war, no mayhem, no murder, no apparent dictatorship, no mass imprisonment of opposition, no suppression of the press. None of that is going on, even though that is the narrative that is being sold to the rest of us. So we just need to back off, particularly Richard Branson.
Oh, boy. Oh, my God. He's so mad about... He's not on the Virgin label. That's the first thing he's mad about.
They tried to check that first.
Yeah.
Peter Gabriel, my friend, please call me. I want to talk to you about this because it's very easy to be led down a garden path that ends in regime change. Do we really want Venezuela to turn into another Iraq or Syria or Libya? I don't. And neither to the Venezuelan people.
All right.
Well, okay, Bob, I suggest you get there. Or Roger, in this
Roger.
Case. Roger. Thinking about Bob Geldof for a second. Roger, you should get there. And make sure that none of that is actually happening. He's talked to friends. You know, I talk to friends too. But if he's got friends there, they're living in the mountains in beautiful homes. Right?
I'm sure they are.
Overlooking some sort of body of water. I think that you don't want it in regime change. You got a crazy dictator. It's dictator after dictator. The U.S. we're politicizing that. I couldn't figure out why the president was so interested in Venezuela because he doesn't really seem to be all that interested in foreign intervention and things.
Mm-hmm.
But he got very interested in Venezuela and started supporting this guy. And he doesn't seem to care. It's America first, right? That's been the whole thing. And then I realized what he's doing. All he's doing here, Donald Trump is interested in this because this is a socialist regime that has created economic chaos in a country. And so he wants to tie that to American politics. He wants to tie the Democrats to socialists like the Venezuelan socialists. You already saw them tip their hand on it this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only reason he wants to get involved in this is it's politics. I've never met a guy, I know a lot of politicians, never met a politician who every breathing moment was a political decision. I mean, for a guy who's an amateur at this, I mean, it's at some point you got to bring the real. You got to bring the who are you really? What do you stand for really? All right. That's just me. Jacking in it.
Number four.
Today at the White House, the president, speaking of him, the president's in this. His take on the former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe and his big media blitz that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
In a rant delivered while he was seated alongside Austrian Chancellor Sebastian Kurz, who looks like he's 12 years old, by the way. If you see the video of this later, you're gonna wonder, did that guy just win America's Got Talent? Who is that that's sitting there with him? That is the Austrian Chancellor. Would they make them younger and younger every year?
He looked very uncomfortable.
And he had some choice words for McCabe, including this comparison.
Well, I think Andrew McCabe has made a fool out of himself over the last couple of days, and he really looks to me like sort of a poor man's J. Edgar Hoover. He's a, I think he's a disaster. And what he was trying to do was terrible, and he was caught. I'm very proud to say we caught him. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, he's suing you too. So there's that. We'll see. We will see what happens there.
Yeah, that one has a lot more to go.
He is a disgraced man. He was terminated, not by me, he was terminated by others. The IG report was a disaster from his standpoint. Anybody reading the IG report would say, how could a man like this be involved with the FBI? And the FBI has some of the greatest people, some of the finest people you'll ever meet, but this man is a complete disaster.
Well, there is some explaining to do. The stuff that he has brought up.
What you need to know the answers to is what he's bringing up. Is it true? He's actually calling the president a potential Russian agent working for the Russians.
Asset, basically
working for their interests above the United States interests.
Right. Might be an unintentional asset. So he's. The excerpts of the book that I have read right now are pretty. I mean, that if they're not true, it is the most detailed delusion I've ever seen. He's got details and he's handed over stuff. Now, we're also being told that the Mueller report may be released to the Attorney General as early as next week.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if any of this is. This is coming to a head, one way or the other, coming to a head. Kim Gordon's in the WGN newsroom. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Roe from victim to suspect. New developments in the case of Empire actor Jesse Smollett.
If you saw her on stage, you'd never know why losing her sight has never changed her artistic vision. Thursday night's cover story on WGN TV News at 9.
Top 5-5 continues.
Number 3.
Rick Hahn, general manager of the White Sox, spoke with Steve Cochran and Justin Kaufman in an interview that is going to air tomorrow morning at 8:20 a.m. on 720 WGN. And the only thing that Steve wanted to know was...
Who are we going to get now?
Well, I can't give you an answer exactly to that. All I can tell you is that obviously we were very aggressive in our pursuit of Manny, and despite it not turning out the way any of us had hoped, it certainly doesn't deter us from continuing to be aggressive. And I don't know when exactly this money is going to be spent, but I can assure you it will be spent, and it will be spent towards furthering our goal of putting us in a position to win multiple championships.
That didn't make me feel better.
No.
My hunch is he's making phone calls about Bryce Harper. I just don't think he wants to say that publicly and get the fans' hopes up again.
Oh.
It's my hunch.
I was just talking to Father Dan Brandt from the Chicago Police Department, who's wearing Sox swag when he's walking in here.
So
it's not official uniform. He's wearing his police vest with Sox swag underneath it. And
a real rule follower,
yeah.
Father Dan.
And he was like, it was a dark cloud following him over his head.
Yeah. Not happy.
Yeah. Sox fans, not happy about this. Because they do feel snookered. And it kind of plays into that disappointment that has, you know, hung in the organization for so long. And that behind the Cubs thing, even when they were better than the Cubs, they always, there's an inferiority complex that sets in, and this kind of does it. And you got and so they got to do something big because they have the opportunity to do something big.
Yeah,
they're on the precipice of greatness right here, right now.
Can feel it.
Time to strike.
I'm available.
And me too.
You're looking for an arm.
Yeah, they want it. Yeah. I'm a righty. You have to learn to throw lefty, though.
You can turn to publicity stunts. Get the radio guys out there.
They, oh, gosh.
You know, that didn't work out well for them in the 1970s, as I recall.
Number 2.
Barack Obama is slamming hip-hop and rap music for perpetuating stereotypes. Rooted in toxic masculinity. That's a new term. That's a term I've learned this year. Toxic masculinity. You familiar with that?
I am. Maybe it'll make the Webster's new words.
The former president took the stage with Steph Curry at the My Brother's Keeper Alliance Summit, celebrating the 5th anniversary of Youth Support and Violence Prevention, a group he created during his time in office. He spoke about what it means to be a man and how to fight stereotypes.
I mean, let me say this. If you are really confident,
about your financial situation, you probably are not going to be wearing an 8-pound chain around your neck. Because you know, oh, I got bank. I don't have to show you how much I got. If you are very confident about your sexuality, you don't have to have 8 women around you twerking. I mean, why are you all like, you seem stressed that you got to be acting that way, because I've got one woman who I'm very happy with.
Go, Michelle.
What's interesting is I'd like to point something out mathematically. This is an actual true mathematical reality.
Okay. There's math involved.
If you have a gigantic gold chain around your neck and 8 women twerking around you, that gold chain will be owned by those 8 women within 3 weeks. Finally,
number one.
Valentine's Day may have come and gone, but we're willing to bet that one Kentucky man has not stopped hearing about the gift that he gave his wife. Alan Harris accidentally got his wife Nina turnips instead of tulips.
Oh.
Thinking that that's what she said she wanted the night before.
I went and got the bucket and put the turnips in the bucket. It says, I love you on it. And I went in there and got a coffee and... here you go.
He wasn't paying attention. He just said, yes, I know.
I thought you said turnips. No, I said tulips. And I was like, but when you went, we was going to bed, I misunderstood you. And yeah, I really did a boo-boo on that one.
Who would get your wife turnips?
It's kind of adorable.
Only in Kentucky, guys, let me tell you.
You own that, right?
Yeah. I do.
Now, didn't you think it would happen, be more likely to happen in Tennessee? Because I sort of did. Certainly Arkansas.
Nah.
I wouldn't tell you what. You know what? My wife asked me if she could have a trip on a big ship. And I totally misunderstood what she said.
Oh,
I'm telling you, Mercy, that did not work out well for nobody.
Points for effort.
I really did a boo-boo on that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. All right, wrap this thing up.
The top 5 at 5.
I went home with the waitress the way I always do. I don't know. She was with the Russians too.
The beauty of the late great Warren Zevon is like the late great Prince. He had a song for everything. No matter what the story was, you could find a Warren Zevon song. To fit almost any narrative. Mike Monaco, the official legal analyst of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, unpaid position, is joining us right now.
Hello, Ro. Hi, Anna. That song did sound awfully appropriate.
Yes.
It was perfect.
Russian tune. And that's a song that is 40 years old. So that just tells you everything we need to know about what's happening here in the year 2019. Now, I know you are...
You've been busy.
I'm at the airport on my way to Washington, D.C.
Yes, I know you are. You are now the attorney for Michael Cohen. There's a couple of pieces of news about Michael Cohen today. I will mention them. I don't know if you can comment on either of them.
I can comment. Yeah, the judge granted us a 60-day extension of time for him to surrender to begin his prison sentence. So we are all very happy about that.
Mm-hmm. And he was supposed to surrender the first week of March, and obviously now that's been pushed back to the first week of May. So,
it's because, in large part, because of his surgery on his shoulder and it's been the much needed therapy that he's receiving right now.
Much needed therapy.
I heard that. Mm-hmm.
Spoken like a true attorney. And
Your Honor.
Now, do we have this right that he's scheduled to appear next week in Washington, D.C.?
Who told you that, Ro?
I've seen reports.
I'm told that a report is coming out today that he's going to be...
That report is out that he's going to be speaking in Washington next week. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is true.
Okay. All right. So the question that I guess it will be on the lips here for the people you've been watching this Andrew McCabe stuff. We had you on Monday to talk about it a little bit, or when it was coming out on Tuesday. When you look at the Andrew McCabe stories that he's telling about what it was like in 2017 after right before and right after the firing of James Comey,
right.
And you see all of this, and I want to pull you away now from your representation of Michael Cohen, if I can, for just a second.
Sure.
As you're looking at that, do you, and now with this story that there's going to be the Mueller report, maybe as soon as next week, that you're going to have a report by Mueller to the Attorney General. Do you think this McCabe or anything else could slow up the process of that, of the Mueller report coming out?
I doubt it's going to. I don't know who the source is of that report. I know CNN is doing it, but I don't know who their source is. I would tend to doubt that it's going to happen next week, just because it seems like they're busy doing other things. But I don't know. We'll see.
That the Mueller, the Office of Special Counsel, is busy doing other things, you think?
Right.
Okay.
Without this delay, Mike, for Michael Cohen in reporting to prison, would he have been able to testify without this?
Well, that would have been tough for us because he would have had to spend this week down in D.C., and then he would have very little time to go back, see his family, and get things ready. So, you know, once you're going to go, you've got a lot of things to do before you go to prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he has to do a lot of those things. But he's thank God we don't have to worry about that. Thank God the judge today granted our motion.
Right,
there are very few details about so far, other than he is going to be testifying or was scheduled. They put him on the schedule to testify up on Capitol Hill. That's the only story. That's the only thing I've seen. So the question, I suppose, moving forward here, is that if he has things that he's going to say in open, do we know if it's open or closed, or you don't know yet, or we can't talk about that yet?
I'm told that one of the congressional committees will be open.
Okay. Ostensibly, if he is to make news on that, one could assume, you know, or say something that changes the narrative here. One would assume that moves along here in a different way that could affect Mueller. But one of the things that I see here with Mueller is that. Another story that is being reported today is that from the Office of the Special Counsel mm-hmm. are being shipped large boxes of legal files to other districts, other federal districts. The District of Columbia, U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York. That the idea here is that if there are to be indictments in the aftermath of the Office of Special Counsel's report, Mueller's report, that those indictments will not come from Mueller, they will come from those local U.S. attorneys' offices. Does that make sense? Does it seem like the right thing? Former U.S.
Well,
attorney yourself?
It's possible. I did not hear that story, but it's possible. But it's unlikely that. I mean, certainly Mueller cannot say that another district is going to indict somebody because he doesn't know. I mean, it's up to the other district. Like, it's up to the Southern District if they're going to indict somebody. Mueller cannot tell a district, some other district, you're going to indict so-and-so for these various crimes.
I understand that.
That district.
But what I'm asking you is if he's sending that, if he's basically referring stuff that he has, that Mueller has already...
That would be consistent with your story, your report, that he's going to have a report that he will finish his work soon. That's true. But I have not heard that.
I love when we talk to Mike and he's actually got a horse in the race. And it's always very halting. It's like every other word.
Yeah,
he
yes,
has
exactly.
to stop and think about, what am I saying?
I can
Hold
tell.
On, wait a yeah. second.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I mean, I totally understand this, but it is,
yeah.
it And oh, I appreciate you being as candid as you are being with us, because right. I know that you know there's a lot.
Well, my pleasure. And then the fact that the judge did rule that way today was very helpful, and that's certainly helpful. And the fact that I believe one of the congressional committees is going to announce today that he's going to be testifying next week, so that's also very helpful. So, right. And there's the story about Mueller being done with his report soon. That is totally. I have no idea about that. And as I say, it seems a bit premature, but we'll see.
I don't even know if you can answer this, but does he have a lot more to tell Michael Cohen? Is there a lot more for him that we haven't heard for him to say?
There is some more for him to say, there will be some things that we will not be able to say at the House hearing.
Be more in closed door hearing kind of material.
Yes. So we'll see.
Oh, boy.
It'll be supposed to be an interesting week. It reminds me of the time that John Dean testified, actually, when I was working at the U.S. Attorney's Office. John Dean was testifying.
Buckle up.
Buckle up. It's going to be an interesting week.
Okay. Well,
okay.
I thank you, Mike. We
my pleasure. We
appreciate your time. Fly safe. We'll talk to you. Maybe we'll set up a golf date in Guantanamo together, Mike. Well,
yeah, exactly. All right.
Thank you.
Nice talking to you.
Thanks
Anna,
for checking
please,
in.
Please take care of Ro.
I'm trying.
Would you please?
It's hard work, and with you gone, Mike, it doesn't help.
Yeah,
it doesn't help.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
All right. You got my phone. Goodbye.
Goodbye. I call him anyway. Anyway, I don't think I'm okay.
Mike, help me.
All right. So what we just learned there is, which we already knew, that he is going to be testifying.
Before three congressional committees is what Politico is reporting. So three separate committees.
But you asked the central question, as you always do. I'm the one flitting around all of these different things, nervous, and then you ask the question, will there be some stuff we have not heard before? And Mike Monaco says yes. Michael Cohen will testify to things that they have not heard from before, and there will be things in the closed sessions that of great consequence.
That can only be in the closed sessions, it sounds like. Only be heard in that setting.
Now the problem is that his client, for better or for worse, does have he's got some veracity issues.
Problem with the truth.
Yeah. So they, you know, whether you take his word for it, or whether a prosecutor or these House or Senate committees listen to this and say, you know, this is, you know, oh, well, we stop the presses, stop everything, we're going to go with this. That's still yet to be seen, depending on what it is and what kind of in what way that he can prove it up.
When is this going to happen?
Next week.
Next week.
Gee. Next week.
Be very active.
The president's going to be in Vietnam next week.
Mm-hmm.
Finally. And then we are going to have Michael Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
And potentially the delivery of the Mueller report to
the Attorney General. Who will then decide what will be released. And we would hear something soon, we would assume.
I'd like to quote Michael Monaco, buckle up.
Oh, boy.
Let's check in and find out what's going on in the roadways right now, Jen. I'm still reeling from the news that this show has made today.
I think Mike Monaco might have just told us a little something there.
I think he did.
Pretty sure he did.
That Michael Cohen is going up to Capitol Hill next week to testify before three different congressional committees.
Mm-hmm.
And he will have something new to say.
And
it may not come out in the open committee, but it will come in the closed committee.
Right.
And what does that mean for this investigation? Now, again, Michael Cohen's got some, you know, issues with the truth. And he did behave very badly. And he
had his own issues separate from anything to do with the president.
Right, he did. And that's what he's actually getting. That's what he's going away to the slam for.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm just going to... Pardon me while I speculate here for a moment.
Sure. Let's hear it.
that he's been given a 60-day reprieve from having to report for prison. 60 days.
Now, because of his shoulder surgery therapy. Well, how did Mike Monaco put it? There was some necessary therapy that it goes along with that particular surgery.
You do wonder if he does offer something new that is provable, if that changes his circumstance.
Hmm.
Just saying.
3 years.
I'm speculating here. He's looking at 3 years right now. And he's got a report. He was supposed to report the week after next.
Right. Early March. Now it's early May. Shifted 60 days, and that's enough time to go ahead and testify.
Yeah, and to do other things. To keep testifying.
Keep talking.
Right. And go to that vault somewhere where he's got something. That's interesting.
A couple pieces of paper that he hasn't shown, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know about that. I mean, but maybe he wasn't. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. I'm total in speculation mode. I don't know for sure. But let's wait and see. Is right. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for. Yes. That's exactly.
But that was a very interesting tidbit from Mike Monaco, who is representing Michael Cohen and is on his way to Washington, D.C. as we speak to handle such affairs.
And let me just tell you something. Michael Cohen could learn a thing or two from Mike Monaco about how to dress.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Right? And how to wear a certain, you know, there's certain guys who can pull things off. Mike is the best dressed, most suave guy I've ever met in my life, and he always smells good.
He does.
But the and I don't see that with Michael Cohen. Sometimes Michael Cohen's ill fitting and wacky,
right?
Like flashy, like last year's flashy.
The hair kind of going all over the place,
and the big cigar, and then that angry visage where he's like yelling at everybody. Good luck to you, my friend. Well, then we'll just have to see. Boy, it's going to be a consequential week next week.
It will. I mean, Grant, just even getting the delay is consequential because that opens up a whole window there to testify, which a lot of people weren't sure when he was reporting to prison. Was that going to make him unavailable in some way?
Right.
For all the committees that wanted to talk to him.
Hey, let me also mention on a totally separate issue. On Friday, this is a new ad. We are going to be at the United Center on Friday.
Yes.
It's Margaritaville night at the United Center.
Mm-hmm.
There will be margaritas flowing at the United Center.
Nice.
And it's the Colorado Avalanche and the Hawks. It's going to be a fun game. Very also consequential, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very important. Every game now. Tonight, this game,
count.
We got a game coming up in just a few minutes against Detroit. And we know what Detroit does.
We know.
What does Detroit do?
We know. We know exactly what
they
do.
It sucks. They suck. That's what they do. And
get the chant ready.
Because Detroit sucks, the Hawks win tonight, and there's a bunch of other losses. They're right on the precipice. They could, even as early as tonight, they could be in wild card position.
That'd be huge.
Think about
Love
that.
Love to see that.
And that
Go
makes,
Hawks.
That makes Friday night completely consequential.
All these games count.
All right.
Very hard to come by tickets these days.